Good morning. How's everyone today? It's a glorious morning that the Lord has created for all of us. It's good to see everybody here. The announcements really are on the back of the bulletin. Preschool is still looking to hire an administrative assistant. Gives you the telephone number there to contact Sandy Kelly. The Centering Prayer Group will be meeting this Tuesday at 5:30 for about 45 minutes, devotion and prayer in the parlor. So everybody's welcome to come and join to learn about and practice Christian contemplation. Of course, the Brown Bag Bible Study every Wednesday, including this Wednesday, between 12 and 1. And it's really a wonderful ability or time to study from God's Word during the middle of the week. Kind of helps me get into Sunday. But that Bible study is also streamed on Zoom for those who would like to join online. The unfortunate announcement, Mary Kay Grum did pass away this last week, and our hearts and prayers are with her family. And also, let us not forget the persons and family members listed in the prayer list.
Tentatively, services for Mary Kay will be Saturday at 10:30. That's the family still contacting various members of the family and making travel arrangements. So we're waiting for absolute confirmation on that time, but tentatively they've asked for 10:30 on Saturday. So that's the plan right now. Let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, in your goodness you pour out on your people all that they need and satisfy those who persist in prayer. Make us bold in asking, thankful in receiving, tireless in seeking, and joyful in finding, that we may always proclaim your coming kingdom and do your will on earth as in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. Let us hear what the Lord our God speaks.
To those who turn to God in their hearts,
seeking peace in word, in song, and in prayer,
let us worship.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 39, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Changes not thy coming.
Please be seated. By the way, one other announcement. We heard this morning that there's a wildfire out Highway 94 and close to the area where Andrew Peavy lives. And so we're concerned that her house might be caught up in that fire. So please keep the firefighters, the first responders, and all in Andrew in your prayer. When I'm away, I tune in to the service here, and so you got to watch what you say. And I noticed somebody said something about me playing with the water at this time in the service. So I wanted to take a minute and say that all our theology can be wrapped up in the sacraments. The font and the table. All our theology comes down to that at some point or another. So the reason when I come to the font at this time in the service is to emphasize baptism. Because we believe that our sins are washed away in the sacrament of baptism. It's a sign and a seal of that. So when we come to confess our sins, we need to think about baptism. We need to think about the fact that Jesus washes away our sins. So, we come to the font because the proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? To wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, knowing that our sins are already forgiven, that Jesus died to wash away our sins. So in that faith and in confidence, let's go to the throne of God and confess our sins, not because we believe that God doesn't already know them, but because we want to reconcile ourselves to God and we want to show God that we love God. So we come to the font to ask for forgiveness. So using the prayer of confession that's printed in the bulletin and then praying together in silence, let us pray and confess our sins. Gracious God, we humbly confess that we have fallen short of who you call us to be. We seek peace and comfort in our lives, ignoring the needs of those around us. We live our lives in ways that bring chaos and calamity to our neighbors. Cleanse us from sin and show us your steadfast love, so that in turning to you, we may seek unity and peace for all of creation. Amen. So here are the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Jesus. And Jesus died for us. Jesus rose for us. Jesus reigns in power for us. And Jesus prays for us. So as we say over the waters of baptism, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures who are able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing glory to God. Of God's forgiveness, let's pass that peace to one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Good to see you.
Thanks.
How you doing?
Good to be seen.
That's one of the strongest things that I like about what you do.
Thanks.
And the prayer of illumination, let us pray. Faithful God, how blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Sanctify us by your word and by your spirit, so that we may glorify you in the company of the faithful. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The first scripture lesson this morning is out of the book of Colossians, the second chapter, verses 6 through 15, on page 200 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh and the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Holy wisdom, holy words. Thank you.
Kind of a shame to fill this space with words after those beautiful, beautiful music. Our next reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. He, meaning Jesus, was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door's already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the things I really appreciate about this congregation is your dedication to prayer. A central part of First Presbyterian Church's communication is the prayer list. This practice rightfully places the emphasis on our communication being in the presence and providence of God. We take seriously that our care of each other begins and ends with God. One of the themes of the Gospel of Luke is the importance of prayer. Luke emphasizes Jesus praying before his baptism, before he chooses the 12 disciples, before he prophesies about his passion, before his transfiguration, and other times. In today's scripture lesson, the disciples again see Jesus at prayer, and they ask him to do for them what John the Baptist had done for his disciples: teach them to pray. Jesus teaches his disciples what is commonly referred to as the Our Father, after the church's common practice of referring to prayers by the first words. Sometimes you might see it listed or referred to as the Paternoster, which is Our Father in Latin. The version we commonly recite in worship is a slightly longer version based on the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer during the Sermon on the Mount. Luke's slightly shorter version is incorporated into a three-part lesson that Jesus gives his disciples on prayer. In part one, Jesus tells the disciples to begin the prayer addressing God as Father. Jesus is telling the disciples that God is a loving parent who can be addressed personally. However, notice that the prayer is prayed in a group context. In Matthew, the prayer begins, "Our Father," which is a plural possessive pronoun, emphasizing that God is not only Father, but Father to us all. Notice the petitions that follow are, "Give us," "Forgive us," "Lead us." Each of these pronouns presupposes a community of faith. But before these petitions, the prayer asks that God's name be hallowed. That reminds me of the child who asked his father whether they were going to see Howard this Sunday. Confused, the father asked the child who he was talking about. "You know, Howard," said the child confidently. Still confused, the father asked again, "Who's Howard?" Impatient with his ignorant father, the child said, "God is Howard." The father responded, "Why do you say God is Howard?" The child responded, "Because we say it every Sunday, 'Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.'" Hallowed is not a word we use in everyday conversation. It's no wonder that a child would see how would hear Howard as we race through the familiar words. To hallow something is to make it sacred or holy. Also, words with a churchy sound. So what are we asking when we ask that God's name be hallowed? The root of all these words means to set aside or to be made separate. Perhaps someone in your house has a tool that no one else is allowed to use but them. Perhaps there's a favorite knife in the kitchen that only mom can use. Perhaps there's a favorite hammer that's only dad's. These items are set aside for those persons. If we set aside the name of God, we recognize that the whole person of God is special. The name of God is set aside only for God. As I know you are probably aware, Jews will not even speak the name of God. They always say Adonai or Lord when the name of God appears in Scripture. Likewise, we do not go to God lightly or frivolously, but we recognize we are going into the presence of our loving Father. It may seem strange to ask God that God's name be hallowed. Remember, the object of prayer is not to change God, but to change us. So when we ask that God's name be hallowed, we are all too aware of our tendency to invoke God's name lightly. By starting out our prayer hallowing God's name, we are praying that we be given the right attitude in the presence of God. Likewise, we pray that God's kingdom come. When we pray this, we are praying that our eyes be open to the kingdom. Now, this has been called an eschatological prayer, meaning a prayer looking toward the end of times. And indeed, we are looking for the ultimate realization of God's kingdom on earth. However, we also speak of an initialized eschatology, meaning that Jesus began the kingdom on earth that will ultimately be fulfilled. As part of that kingdom already begun by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are to act as kingdom people. When we pray for the kingdom to come, we are praying with an eye to the future and an eye to the present. That eye to the present is emphasized by the next petition, where we ask for our daily bread. Most scholars translate this to mean the bread for today, not a prayer in advance for all upcoming days. The importance of this is focus on today. Going back to God's provision of manna in the wilderness, God provided enough for the day. Not a massive amount that could be stored. Indeed, if manna was stored, it would spoil. The point was to rely on God and trust in God to provide us good gifts. The point was also to focus on today rather than worrying about the future. Of course, it's up to each of us to make proper use of the gifts we have been given, using those gifts for the glory of God. Sometimes we fail to hallow God's name, to see God's kingdom in the world, to live as kingdom people, and to trust God for today's sustenance. Consequently, we need forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. We individually need forgiveness, and we need forgiveness as a group. Recognition of that need for forgiveness is part of what Jesus teaches in this prayer. Jesus tells us to ask for forgiveness as we forgive others. In the Greek, Luke combines a Greek understanding of forgiveness for missing the mark. Think of this as shooting at a target and missing the bullseye. And a Hebrew understanding of forgiveness as not collecting a debt that is owed. The final petition in the prayer looks forward and asks that God lead us. And while we let go of the past and focus on the present, we trust that God will lead us where we need to go. It is our prayer, as Jesus taught, that the path on which we are led will not take us to a time of trial, but we trust that the end result will be good. This leads us to the second and third parts of Jesus' teaching on prayer. The second part has often been called the parable of the persistent friend. According to Joseph Fitzmyer, the author of the Anchor Bible Commentary on Luke, the parable is based on a teaching drawn from Palestinian folk traditions. This parable grates on our Western sensibilities. As we can imagine, someone knocking at our door in the middle of the night. This is where context becomes particularly important. First, it was common in the time of Jesus that travel was done at night to avoid the brutal heat of the sun. We can appreciate that now, can't we? As a result, it was not unusual for an arrival to be late at night. Second, the strange sleeping arrangement mentioned in the parable needs explaining. William Barclay explains the poorer Palestinian house consisted of one room with one window. As you can imagine, in a one-room house, the whole family slept together in that single room. As a result, the whole household would be awakened by a late night visitor. At this point, it's important to note that both William Barclay and Joseph Fitzmyer use the term Palestinian. Did you hear that? Both are using the term to mean a resident of Palestine, the region where Jesus lived and ministered. Because of this, Jesus is referred to in the Confession of 1967 as a Palestinian Jew. Likewise, those who converted to Christianity through the words of Jesus were Palestinians. Some Jews, some not Jews. Because of the frequent use of the adjective Palestinian before the term terrorist, in today's news and in media reports, it's become common to view the word Palestinian as a negative word. We need to remember that Jesus was a Palestinian Jew. We need to remember that the earliest converts to Christianity were Palestinian Christians. And if there's ever to be peace and justice in the Middle East, it's important for us not to automatically assume that all things Palestinian are bad. If you don't believe me, believe William Barclay and Joseph Fitzmyer, two of the most influential New Testament scholars in history. So in this story of a Palestinian household, Jesus tells us about prayer. Jesus tells us that we are to be persistent in our prayer, not because that persistence will somehow change God, but because that persistence will change us. It's easy to become inconsistent in prayer. I can tell you from personal experience, it's not easy to be persistent in prayer. But as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we are to engage in the discipline of persistent prayer. Not because that prayer will change God, but because those prayers will change us. The focus of the parable is not on the person who has awakened, who was awakened, but on the person who is persistent in meeting his obligation to hospitality. This leads to the third part of Jesus' teaching. The assurance that God, whom we call Father, answers prayer with good gifts. We do not always understand the answers to our prayers. Sometimes the answers to our prayers are so subtle that we may think our prayers are not even heard. Jesus assures us that our prayers are heard. Jesus assures us that God's responses are always good gifts. Even as a parent who gives good gifts to a child. Thus, when evil comes our way, it's not from God. If we get snakes rather than fish, it's not from God. If we get scorpions rather than eggs, it's not from God. What is from God is every good gift. The greatest gift of God is God's self, who comes to us as loving Father, who comes to us as Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who comes to us as the Holy Spirit, if we but ask. May each of us be persistent in prayer, that we may receive the good gifts God intends for each of us. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. What do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 465, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Thank you. There's only one Lord and God from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Love that song. I was getting so wrapped up in it, I almost forgot to come down. Will the ushers please come forward? Doxology. Let us pray. We praise you and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. Amen. Please be seated. As we pray, I pause in different locations. And in those pauses, some churches will have the members of the congregation speak names of people or places or things that they're thinking about during those pauses. For now, I'm asking that you think about when I say we pray for the church and we're in silence, that you pray what your concerns are for the church. And then we'll pray together. And if you will do that in each of the pauses. Let us pray. Rejoicing in God's promise of new creation, let us pray to the maker of heaven and earth, saying, in faith, O God, we pray for the church. Teach us to pray as Jesus taught, calling on your loving care and giving honor to your holy name. In faith, O God, we pray for our communities. Give daily bread to the hungry. Help us to forgive one another even as you have forgiven us. In faith, O God, we pray for the world. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In faith, O God, we pray for the earth. Protect the vulnerable from weather extremes such as heat, drought, and fire. May we care for your creation to show our love for you. In faith, O God, we pray for loved ones. Save them from times of testing and deliver them from evil. All for the glory of your holy name. In faith, O God. Gracious God, keep us working and praying for the coming of your holy realm of peace, when we will share abundant life with you through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 175. Seek ye first. Having heard the word of God to you, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Be persistent in prayer. Ask, seek, knock, and the good gifts of God will come through the Holy Spirit. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.